This is a Forbidden Knowledge News premium episode. To get access to this full episode and many more, visit forbiddennowledgenews.online/packages or just click the link in the description now. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show, Karen Holton. She is a social justice activist, experiencer, educator, channel, guide, and ascension coach. Her professional experience includes well-being and ascension coaching, counseling, creating and implementing workshops, lectures, self-help sessions, and consciousness-raising social events. She spent over a decade researching the nefarious global agenda, realizing the implications, and witnessing the rollout and practical application. She spent over 10 years attending anti-poverty conferences and meetings, participated in peaceful demonstrations, and wrote many articles for print media. In 1997, she created and implemented the Comox Valley Anti-Poverty Social Action Group. She left her work as an anti-poverty activist in 2003 after suffering permanent physical damage from severe police brutality at a peaceful demonstration. Later, after receiving a spiritual download, she switched gears and created the Quantum Health Transformation Program to assist others to heal, evolve, and thrive. Her website is KarenHoltonHealthCoach.com. Karen, welcome back. How are you tonight?
Doing great, Chris. How about you?
Oh, I'm good. You know, things are moving along now. Now, I'm excited for tonight. You were a presenter at Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2020, and it was an awesome presentation. Definitely one of a kind. You talked about all your fascinating experiences and what you learned, and we discussed this plenty of times on my shows. Tonight, we're going to talk about what you learned as an activist about the elite power systems that control our planet, the psychopaths behind it, and what can we do about it, if anything. And we're also going to talk more about the Quantum Health Transformation Program, your alien implant remedy, and much more. First, there's so much going on right now. I want to know, what is it like in Canada with all the bullshit going on? Are people asleep? Are they pissed off? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. It is really surreal. I actually last night watched the first half of your last show that you did with Corey Hughes, and I was right on the same page as you guys. I fell asleep, so I'm going to watch the second half of it tonight. But it was a fascinating show for people that haven't seen it yet. That's a must see. But anyway, it's the same thing. You go out and people are acting beyond weird. So you've got these people that are just, it's almost like they're purposely overdoing it to make some kind of a statement that we should all be doing what they're doing. So, like, they're standing at the hand sanitizer pump and they're pumping out huge amounts of the hand sanitizer, which, by the way, if it's made with isopropyl, it's toxic. And they're doing their hands till it's dripping off, and they're giving all, like, you can't really see them because they got masks on, but they're giving you looks like you're doing something real bad, because I refuse to wear a mask. I did in the beginning. I was one of the first people that wore masks, and since then I've went, this is bullshit. I watched some documentaries, and we need the microbiome to have a healthy immune system. And I went, you know, this is bullshit. And I went out and I just stopped wearing a mask. And, you know, if I have to, I will. I don't like to. And the other thing that's such bullshit about it is the masks are not even helping. Like, you can wear anything, a little scarf, a little handkerchief, and go in and they accept you because you've got a mask. And you know it's bullshit, isn't doing anything. So it's like just to appease the insanity out there, sometimes we have to do it. But personally, hell no, I'm done with it. I'm back to living my life the way I choose. It's my life. And these things are not even real laws anyway, and they're against our basic human rights. So screw them. I got an obligation to take care of me. Now, I know that sounds selfish for the people that are really freaked out that everyone's got COVID and they're all asymptomatic and they might get it and they might die. Like, understand that's how they think. But I think differently. I have a different perceptual arena. I have a different, my mind tells me that I need to do it this way. And so if they're all masked up and sanitized up the yin yang, what are they worried about what I wear and don't wear anyway? So I got to tell you, the thing that I'm mildly afraid of is just other people. Humans can be at the drop of a hat. We know Dan Dix got attacked at a so-called peaceful rally and the police had to haul him away to save his life. Like, this is getting really nuts. And so that is how it is in Canada. It's nuts. It's just nuts. So they made it mandatory in Edmonton and Calgary, which is north and south of me, that everyone has to wear masks when they're out in public. Red Deer, not yet. They're giving $1,000 fine. So I went to the dollar store and got some little kerchief things that I can just put on because I couldn't breathe in the formal masks. And I'm not going to make myself sick. I refuse. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting off.
No, that's okay. I understand. It is. Have you seen the same kind of screwiness and like, I guess you could call it just blatant lies from the healthcare and medical mafia that are coming out about the testing and the amount of the numbers and cases and deaths? Is it the same there?
Yeah, and what's really scary is that no one thinks critically. Not the media, mainstream media, not the people that are the health, so-called health people, not the supervisors in the stores, not the policy creators. Nobody's even thinking. That is scary. Now, I know they use fluoride in the water here, which is why I don't drink the tap water. But holy shit, pardon my language. Something like, we're not in Kansas anymore. It's like a completely artificial reality. And, you know, I got to meditate to stay calm, to be honest.
I get that. Now, let's start tonight by going a little bit back in time to when you were an activist. First, what got you started in activism?
Well, my story is a bit of a Cinderella story. Although I'm not rolling in dough at this point in my life, I am much better off than I was back then. And I was a single mom, and I couldn't work because I was very ill. I had some really serious health issues and tremendous amounts of pain, inability to sleep, just all kinds of huge problems. And I, over the years, I tended to somatize my traumas into physical manifestations. So I had some really serious health issues. So I couldn't work. And so I was thrown into the low income bracket. Now, when you go into the low income bracket, what happens is we're very stigmatized by the rest of society because this is how the construct is organized. It's organized so that there are scapegoat groups of people that people can focus their anger on them. Oh, those lazy people. Oh, they're homeless because they want to be. Oh, you know, look at a single mom sitting around doing nothing. All this kind of toxic stuff is being poured out. Even by the working and middle classes, because that's how it's orchestrated. Poverty is absolutely legislated. And so what happens is these people we're all categorized as the same category. And so, you know, we're living in slum housing. And the people that own the slum housing, they're people that are middle class people. And this is how they make extra money. These are their investments. They invest in rental property. Everybody wants to get rental property. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people have have a like a split personality where they go to church, they have a nice middle class acceptance, they're respected people, but they only slum houses, and so we have black mold growing all through, natural just mushrooms growing in the carpets from all the dampness, lining up at food banks, not having enough money to live on, having to choose between rent and food, extremes of stress. So most people end up getting involved in selling drugs, taking drugs. And I'm not talking about pharmaceuticals. And I'm certainly not talking about pot here. I'm talking about all the different more nefarious drugs that are cocaine and meth and crack and all that stuff. And then there's a whole criminal thing that I'll get into later that happens as well. So I was just fed up with all of this. And this was before I had my spiritual awakening. And I thought I could make a difference by getting involved, getting educated, educating other people, doing letter writing campaigns, doing peaceful demonstrations, meeting, like I met with, I'll get into that a little bit later. And finally, I had an opportunity to get some training, and I went over to Vancouver, and there's a group there called End Legislated Poverty, and they train anti-poverty groups. So I went and had training with them, and then I learned about the truth about all the politics of the world. And all of our what we think are countries are just corporations. And I started learning about neoliberalism, neo-communism, neo before what we think of as being different political persuasions. But the truth of the matter is they're meant to look like democracy, look like communism, but actually they're part of the same bird that really is just cashing in on humanity. Now, I want to say that these things have been going on for thousands of years. It's only now that we're starting to, things are coming to light. So with the pedophilia and with the sex trade industries and with all of that, we're just finding out about it. It's not like, oh, this just happened in the last 10 years. It's been going on for thousands of years. So the more I learned, the more I felt compelled to do my best to help bring about change. So I started an anti-poverty group, the Comox Valley Anti-Poverty Social Justice Group. And the first meeting we had, I had hundreds of people show up who were all poor, and they all wanted help to get more money to solve their problems. And I was so overwhelmed with just me. I went, oh my God, I can't really do anything for these people. So I changed the group into a social justice group so that we got involved in education. We wrote all kinds of articles. I had articles published in all over the place. I also just want to take a minute here to clarify. I'm speaking from a Canadian perspective. I'm speaking from a British Columbia perspective. And I'm speaking from my own perceptual arena. However, I don't think it's that different the rest of the world. So what happened in my training is we started learning about these summits. I got a little cheat notes here so I remember. But around 1975, they started with these G20 summits and these G10 summits. And finally, they ended up with a G6. And what that is the 20 or 6 of the largest economies. So I'll give you an example. Economy is not just a country. An economy, Bill Gates, his foundation is an economy, a huge economy. So the most powerful economies in the world got together and did talks and said, okay, this is what we want and this is how we're going to go about doing it. So by the 1980s, when I got involved, this information was getting leaked to the different anti-poverty groups, and that's how I was able to learn about it. And what was, we didn't know everything, but what we did know is they had more power than any individual country. There's a few countries involved, but mostly it's these huge, huge corporations, but then the countries are corporations anyway. So what we found out they were planning on doing was to roll back incrementally any and all laws, to roll back anything that was there to protect people, to remove all the environmental and human protections, to roll them all back. to import slave labor from any country they want, to dissolve country boundaries. And at that point, well, now that we're in 2020, we can clearly see the evidence of what's actually happened from that. But what I would like to talk about next, when you're ready, is what that actually looked like for those of us that were low-income people. What did that actually do to our lives? And what did that actually do to bring us to the point that we're at now?
Yeah, definitely. We can go right into that. I just have a comment. The system, it's not different than here. I mean, everything you're saying sounds the same as it probably is most likely everywhere. And people don't realize how true this is. The system is literally built to keep the poor poor and keep the rich rich. They make sure with all the things that they have in place, all their mandates, the political system, the education system, the economy, everything is built to where they control it. And if you're at a certain level, you're going to stay at that level. And you can't, I mean, if you do, it's out of a miracle or some kind of universal circumstance that, helped you along.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Chris. And so when I went to university, I have a degree in social work, but I didn't take child apprehension. I took all the fringe courses. I'm what they call a generalist. And I took, psychology and sociology. And a large percentage of what we learned was also a history, pre-contact to present history in Canada from the perspective of women, from the perspective of First Nations, from the perspective of the working perspectives that you would never learn about unless you took these university courses, which of course requires privilege to even get there in the first place. So I learned a lot about the residential treatment, the residential schools of First Nations, what they did to eliminate the First Nation. That's what we call the Indian population in Canada, or the Native population in Canada as First Nations, and how everything that was done to destroy them completely. And now I see that millions of us are now facing the same thing. We've lived up to a certain point with a certain amount of privilege, but now we're all being grouped into the same kind of treatments. So what I saw as a low-income person is the only thing we could get in Canada in abundance was paid prescriptions. And so I was acutely aware that we were being used for long-term drug studies since the 1980s. It was obviously clear. And I know at the time I didn't understand about nutrition and health, and there's certainly nobody going to teach us to upskill in those areas. And so I took a lot of the pills and stuff, and I did what the doctors told me, and I just ended up in way worse than I would have ended up if I hadn't taken anything. So I was really aware of that. But I'm going to tell you, I went to school, I got an opportunity to get an education, and that was a miracle in itself. And when I was graduating, they laid off over 30,000 social workers in BC. Now, a lot of people think, well, social workers aren't that important, but they're extremely important, because the way the system was set up until then was you had a problem. If you didn't have enough money to go and hire an expert yourself, you went to see a social worker. So the nonprofits had social workers, income assistance had social workers, mental health had social workers, and you would go see a social worker and you would explain your situation to the social worker. The social worker then would draw from all the community supports to make sure you had food, make sure you had housing, make sure you had treatment, make sure that you had all the different things that you needed. So they eliminated that. So shortly after that, people who needed help were lining up at government kiosks along with the people that were applying for permits to get to build a shed onto their property, plumbing permits. And all there was just one woman sitting there at a computer typing the number. Nope, you don't get this. Yep, you get that. And so all the compassion, all of the supports were completely removed. They deinstitutionalized all the people that were in like mental hospitals and severely handicapped and stuff like that. They set up a token small amount of a residential support homes for the most severe, but everyone else, after living their whole lives in an institution, got dumped onto the street. So they became the homeless. Because they don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how it would be like if you were in jail your whole life and you got out and you tried to deal with mainstream society. So you understand what's happening. So now we're getting more poor people. People are losing their jobs. You know, the ATMs are taking over. And slowly over time, people are losing their jobs. All the manufacturing got shipped out to other countries. And meanwhile, we're bringing in all the immigrant people. Now, I have no problem with immigration. However, I do think that a country should get their shit together and take care of the citizens. We're all immigrants in North America, except for the First Nations people. And so, you know, I think that they should get their shit together and look after the population that's here now and sort out their issues before they start bringing in a whole bunch of other people. But I've known many, many, many people from other countries all over the world. The only thing they have in common is that they're people of color. And I talked to them and they all told me a very similar situation. They were lied to. They immigrated. They were doctors and lawyers and professionals. And they immigrate to Canada and suddenly they're having to work for a fraction of minimum wage. They don't even have to pay the minimum wage. All the farming and agricultural, all of that is slave labor that's imported. And so then you just have all these people out of work. And it's very stressful to be out of work. And you line up at the food bank and you get bags of stale donuts and crap. It's just the worst thing for your health. Nobody tells you about nutrition. Nobody tells you how to upskill your health. Nobody tells you how to do those things. And so it's just a downward spiral. And then we're despised of. Now we become fodder for these nonprofit agencies. So what's happened is the funding has been removed. All the resource centers are gone. All the anti-poverty groups are gone. All the non-GMO or organizations that were helping people on the front line, they're all gone because they all got their core funding pulled. And now you have, again, your middle class who has an illusion of stability because they're the ones working at the nonprofits that are left. They're the ones that are left working at the non-governmental or the government agencies. And they're so restricted as to what they can do that if you do go in and seek help, even if they're programmed to help you, even though their executive directors are making $100,000 a year, $150,000 a year, they've shaved off everything they give to the front line. And so what's happened is a terrific amount of people have had to enter the sex trade, the drug trade, and there's a tremendous amount of oppression because the criminal groups have gone, great, we've got now armies of people that we can get them to do what we want. And I'll give you a real example for me is back in the early 2000s, I got a medical exemption for cannabis. So I found a designated grower who grew for me medical grade cannabis and it was fully licensed and it was fully prescribed. And I guess my son told one of his friends, or I don't know, maybe I told someone, I don't know, but there's a knock on the door and there's a guy at the door and he says, well, I just want you to know that you're within my territory and we understand that you have a designated grower and you have medical cannabis. You are now going to sell that and you're going to turn all the money over to me. And if you don't, we're going to mess you up. And so I had neighbors who wouldn't comply, who were picked up, kept in cages for 3-4 days in their own pee and poo, nothing to drink, nothing to eat, and then let out so that they'd be an example to the rest of the neighborhood. And then all the people with mental disabilities and physical disabilities are all working for the drug dealers because they have to, or they'll get beat up, killed, go missing, or maybe they've gotten them addicted to the drugs themselves and they have to keep doing it. So all the people who want to buy the drugs are showing up to the low-income housing project. I know, because I live there. All the housing projects and everything, and out limps this poor guy who can barely even walk, severely mentally handicapped. He picks up the money and he gives the drugs. Because if the cops come along and see that, they're not going to go as hard on that person as they are on the drug dealers. So this is the kind of society that either kills you or makes you super strong. Now, for me, it made me super strong because I had a spiritual awakening. I have guides, angels. I've got all kinds of help, which has and I also had people who believed in me. But I just want to get back to, while this is going on, I'm doing the anti-poverty work. We're doing the letter writing. We're doing the phone system where we called it making jam, where we jam all the government phone lines, phoning in, say, what are you going to do about this? They lowered minimum wage to $6 an hour in British Columbia. Now, the Canadian dollar is only worth about 70% of an American dollar. And yet our cost of living is at least 30 to 50% higher. So it costs us more for rent, more for food, more for everything, and our dollar is a lot less. So anyway, I even met personally, I became fairly well known. I had all kinds of newspapers and everything, writing articles. I was telling everybody. I even met with the Prime Minister of BC. At the time, it was Ujjal Dosanjh. And I met with MLAs. I met with union reps. I did everything I could. And guess what? It did do a damn bit of good. And I did peaceful demonstrations. And the last demonstration I went on, I was brutalized. I still can't kneel because my knees are so destroyed from the way the police treated me. And this is another thing, is they worked, this was the Victoria Police Department, and I filed a formal complaint, and it was only addressed within internally. And of course they came up with, oh no, we didn't do anything wrong. You're just a troublemaker. But they also work with the media. So what the police did is, where we did our demonstration, the police, after we were gone, the police came in and they trashed everything. And then they told the media that we did it. And we were just a small group of women. And they said there was men and that we were armed and we were dangerous. So it didn't matter what we did, it went against us. It did no good. And so that's why, when I had my spiritual awakening, I realized how the way that we could change things. And then I completely changed my approach, and I've been working with my guides ever since to basically help people find their sovereignty again, find their power, find health, find happiness, deal with psychological problems, everything they need, because the experts inside, the lie is that we have to go to a doctor to find out how to be well. We have to go to a lawyer for morality and what's right and wrong. We have to go to a dentist who's going to drill the shit out of our teeth and fill us full of amalgam fillings. Do you hear what I'm saying here? It's every aspect. So now it's coming to light, and there's this huge cognitive dissonance because it's too much for people to handle. So they have to reject it because they just can't handle it. And I don't blame them. Those of us that know, we don't have that luxury. You know, we got to deal with the stress of knowing and learning to cope with it, learning to be strong and all of that. And so the whole thing is a returning to a couple of things. One is our own sovereignty. And the other thing is to recognize that construct is a really tiny little piece. Even though it encompasses all aspects of our life, it's all crooked, it's all falling apart, it's all garbage, it all works against us. But there is a much larger reality, which includes the metaphysical. Now, even nuts and bolts ET researchers hate me because in my reality, the esoteric is also part of everything else, is also part of our sovereignty. It's part of, and we're part of an amazing, powerful dynamic that is primarily energetic. And once we understand it and tap into it, holy shit, we can do anything we want. We can have all the money we want. We can live in literal paradise. We can have fabulous relationships with our friends and our family. We can have better health than we ever dreamed possible. And so now that's my platform. It's waking people up, but it's not just showing them all the bad stuff, saying, here's an alternative. You don't have to go and do what Karen says, but these do come from a pretty high source. But if you want to use it to stimulate your own imagination and find your own journey and your own path, you know, take some lessons from this. And so that's how I got onto, and then my guides gave me the Quantum Health Transformation Program. And everything I have is not because Karen's so smart and so great. No, Karen survived. Karen kept searching. And Karen, when the secret came out, oh my God, did I get excited? I went, yes, I knew this was coming, right? And so I just really put it into practice. Now, my life didn't get better all of a sudden. What happened was I had some horrible stuff happen to me, which forced me to then go, okay, Karen, either what you believe is real or isn't. Let's put it to the test. And so I got tested over and over and over again until I found it's absolutely real. And it's very exciting. So I know I'm rambling on and on here. Did you have any questions?
Oh,
do you want to know any more about
I
what
do.
It's like?
I want to go back to what you were talking about. When you were describing the situation that you were living in and what it's like for people, based on this divine right to rule that these elites have always had this mindset, you look at today, there's this complete illusion of equality. There's this illusion that we have choice. But we don't. There is no, I mean, if you really step back and look at the situation, look at minorities, look at women. Women, be honest, you're not treated equally. I mean, this is still, it's terrible the way anyone except these elite men, basically, anyone else is considered ants or, you know, just scum to them. And they have this right to rule, and they have the right to make up the rules and make sure you stay down at the bottom licking their boots.
Yeah, the word is called hegemony. And you ask people about hegemony, no one's been heard of the word. And it's about the king's divine right to rule. And it's been going on for thousands of years. And so basically, sometimes we're called the sheep, but what we really are is livestock. We're livestock that they're using for long-term drug trials and experimentation. Now, a lot of people can't even handle the fact that the Nazis, they think the Nazis lost the war. No, Germany lost the war. The Nazi system got just imported into the American space program.
Who do you think's running the show right now?
Exactly. And but people can't handle that. And as soon as you start talking about that stuff, they're going to start. And this is where I get a little bit afraid of my fellow humans, because they can do some terrible things to shut you up because they're afraid. But the truth of the matter is, that is absolutely how it is. And they're complete psychopaths. Now, what that means is they not only lack empathy, compassion, and mercy, they also lack creativity. They also lack spontaneity. This is an old system that's been wearing down for thousands of years. I'm telling you, the wheels are ready to fall off. And thank God there's a lot of millions of us who are in the know, who are working on different projects, different aspects of a new reality that can take that can come into fruition once this thing is basically spent and gone. But in the meantime, it really requires people to do a tremendous shift. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to see what's going on with eyes open. Oh my God, it's terrifying. And it's in every aspect. So everything they tell you, you need to do for your health, for your sanity, everything is wrong. It's all lies. It's all bullshit. And it's meant just as a system of control. I mean, you know, you can go pretty far down these rabbit holes, but they always end up with the same thing, lies. And it's a travesty. It's an absolute travesty. But if we do take the time to open our eyes, do some research, don't listen to me, do your own research. I tell everybody, I don't want any followers. It's not like that. I'm not their leader. I mean, I'm willing to do leadership work until someone better comes along who's going to do the work. But if no one's doing it, then I got to step in and do the work, right? And then when people start to open up to spirituality as opposed to religiosity, because religion, just another bag of shit. Politics, religion, the commercial system, it's all bags of shit. It's all lies. It's all corrupt. And we've all been deceived. So you know what? Stop crying about it and get accepted. And then go, okay, what can I do? And then that's why I love your channel so much and your show so much, because you just fill us with all these ideas, what other people have done, how other people are approaching ET, how other people are approaching psychology, how other people are making themselves well. It's like so much. So basically, remember, even though we've been brainwashed to think that all is the construct and that's all there is, it's actually only a tiny, tiny speck amongst the greater reality, which is going to give us health, love, good relationship, all the things we need to create paradise.
Yeah,
and we're amazingly, we are like great wizards, but we don't know it. We can change anything. We can manifest anything. We can pull this off. And all we have to do is pull our attention away from the construct. It'll start to dissolve. And start putting our attention on the Venus Project, on so many different things that have got, free clean energy, beautiful. We can live in these beautiful little homes and communities with our own gardens. I mean, there's so much we can do. I'm sorry, I was going on and on about it.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I'm very, very passionate about this and very grateful that my guides have given me the information to pass on. And the quantum health transformation, by the way, you know, it took me about 2 years to come up with the core program. I got it in a download in an instant, but I had to downstep it into terms that everybody could understand. That it didn't matter if you're male, female, rich or poor. Didn't matter what your skin tone was. Doesn't matter what your belief system is. I needed it to be able to anybody to have access to it. And it had to be free. So I've recently redone it and updated it a bit, improved some of the grammar because I'm feeling better now. My brain's working better now, and put it together, and it's free. So it's over 20 videos on how to do everything from detoxifying your body, how to do grounding, how to learn different ways of dealing with people. So much information.
Valerie in the chat actually free. Just said that she's looked into your program and it helped her greatly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, before we talk more about the quantum health transformation program, I just have one more question before we move on to that. So some people think that it's beyond humans that is the source of the evil. Now, I think I'm closer to the opposite side of this. I think that humans can be very evil. I don't think we have to be under some kind of alien or off-world control to be that way. I think these psychopaths have been that way for thousands of years. They're inbred in these elite bloodlines, so they breed psychopaths. And if you're not born a psychopath, they will
make you one.
By the time you're an adult. So, you know, there could be an off-planet aspect of, you know, communication or somewhat kind of attempt at control. But I think that most of this is humans. I think that the majority of the evil on our planet is we have to own it. And we're the only ones that can stop it. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't evil ETs that, you know, fuck with us or whatever. But, you know, we're responsible for that, I believe.
I think you're right on the money, Chris. I gotta say, if you look again at the dynamics of the construct, how does it keep replicating itself? It replicates itself by making it okay to scapegoat different groups of people. It makes it easy to continue on if people are drinking fluoridated water and they can't think clearly and they can't do critical thinking. But I gotta tell you, the worst thing what it does to people is it makes them so stressed out. So we're human beings, but we're also animals. We share the planet with many other kinds of animals. You take any animal and you give them a toxic food supply, if you give them inadequate housing, if you give them constant stresses and insecurities, if you're constantly breeding fear, and basically it's war, poverty, crime, and disease, any population will then become psychopathic. Because what happens is when you don't have enough to eat, you're not getting enough sleep, and you're being inundated with EMFs, and it just goes on and on and on. We're stressed to the point where all we can think about is ourselves and our immediate need for survival. So we're not living a life, our true life as humans were meant to live it. And so that breeds a psychopathy. So they're born psychopaths. They turn their own into psychopaths. They do horrible things that is beyond the scope of this discussion to really destroy their own. And then they go off and they make it so that as many of us in mainstream society also become psychopathic. And it isn't until we stand up for our personal sovereignty, want something different, start looking for something different. It's all about that knocking and it'll be answered, but you got to keep trying. And so the thing is that this system has nothing good to offer any of us. I don't believe every aspect of it is bullshit. Every aspect of it is to keep us in our place and to keep us down. Meanwhile, the elites are living in ways that we can't even imagine. They've already got off-planet habitats built that they're living on. I think a lot of the UFOs that people see, you know how it used to be middle class, mainstream people, when your kid turned 16, you got him an old car and you fixed it up for them. That's the elite's version of, oh, you're 16, we're going to give you a car, right? And so all they have is material possession. They don't have anything else. They don't have spirituality. They don't have love. No one can trust each other because they're all out to do each other. And it's like being in a den of vipers. What kind of a life is that? All they have is money, and money isn't even real. So they're so deceived. But that's what I think. And then I think also on top of that, there has been cult symbols and cult rituals that we think are everyday part of everyday life that brings in doorways for evil or nefarious, whether they be ET. I believe that it's all part of the metaphysical arena, because a lot of the higher beings, the ones that have our best interests at heart, they are interdimensional. They are able to do a lot of the things that angels and stuff can do. It's only the really base, heavy, bottom kind of scum of the ET metaphysical that can relate here or would relate here, because they have to have that low frequency. So again, it's all about energy. It's all about frequency. It's all about raising our frequency. And as soon as we start to see that other reality that's pretty much forbidden for anyone to know about, holy smokes, does life change. It changes in ways we never dreamed possible. And I also want to throw a little plug in there for C60. Because I'm seeing it make major changes in people's lives. So when people are healthier and happier and bringing abundance into their life, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're generous. They're loving. You know, they're less critical, they're more compassionate and offering mercy. People are lovely, but they need to have a real life that's meant for humans. And we need a biologically appropriate diet. We need a biologically appropriate biome. We need everything. And so these baddies, I won't get too much into the split. I think there's a bit of a splitting off going on where those of us that are able to hold frequency are moving farther and farther away. We're just not giving our energy to that anymore. So we're giving our energy now to something really good and something that's really exciting. We can't wait to get up in the morning, get onto our next project. Oh my God, I'm going to make a new show. I want it to be about this, about that. It's just like life just becomes beautiful. And that can happen to anybody because we have Definitely. The power. We're great wizards. We're all great wizards.
This is a Forbidden Knowledge News premium episode. To get access to this full episode and many more, visit ForbiddenKnowledgeNews.online/packages or just click the link in the description now.